to the Steelers by Lake podcast. My name is James Lynn. Once again, by my co-host Cody, all the way from Texas. How are you doing today, Cody?
James, I'm still in Texas. Just in case you were wondering, for those, listen, I know there's people out there that are like in my friend circle that are like, he's going to come back. Like, he's not even going to be long gone very long. I might come back, but I told myself I had to be here a year minimum, probably two minimum, to make sure. Because that first year is going to be rough, man. The first year being in a new place, not knowing anybody. I know one person in this entire town. It's going to be rough. So, but we're hanging in there. James, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Another week down, you know, out there training the good people to pick up the rugs and put the rugs down.
The good people. You got any new helpers or just still who you got?
Nope. Yes, we're rolling with the current roster, buddy.
Oh man,
I heard there was an interview today. I hope it went well. We'll see.
That's promising. I guess we'll see. With that being said, I do want to take a second, James. I didn't even mention this to you, but I do want to take a second because it's such a big thing in the news right now in the NFL to talk about one thing and to talk about Tua.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that nonsense.
I think as someone who went to school, my main goal was to be a athletic trainer working. I would love to work with the Steelers or anything like that. I went to school for this stuff. First off, Tua should not have been allowed to enter back into the game last week. Second off, the fact that they let
him
play. Say
it again for the people in the back.
Tua should not have been allowed by any trained medical staff to be allowed to play again in the second half of last week's game. And he definitely should not have played in. If he had, what, 4 days?
Yeah.
He shouldn't have played. He should have never been in again last week against Buffalo, and he should not have entered the game last night at Cincinnati. And the one thing that I will say was kind of cool was to see Ryan Shazier tweet out at him and say he's in good hands, because in Cincinnati was also where Ryan Shazier had his spinal contusion and spinal concussion. And was not good. So again, the NFLPA is going to be, I mean, they're going to pursue everything. They already said they're going to pursue every legal action they can to figure out what they were already under investigation for last week. So it's not a good look for Miami, especially with a young first year head coach. It's not a good look for Miami at all.
Miami is organizationally right now the biggest dumpster fire in the entire NFL. And the Cleveland Browns should be very grateful for this.
I was going to say, and that's saying a lot, because look at the Browns.
Yeah. Look at what the Browns have done with going out and hiring sexual predators and getting rid of Golden Childs. A 9-year-old could tell you that Tua was too injured to go back in the game last week.
Yep.
And a 7-year-old could tell you that he had a concussion.
Yep.
And the Miami Dolphins organization decided to say, nope, it was just a back injury. Never put him in concussion protocol and declared him good enough for a game only 5 days later.
James, I don't know any time that I've had back pain and I shook my head.
Yeah, and then almost fell over
as
if you couldn't see straight. Yeah.
Equilibrium was gone. All that stuff. It was all neurological.
Stupid back.
Neurological response of the fingers. Like, it was all so bad. So bad.
Oh, my back.
It's my back. Yep. I don't know. Anyways,
Doesn't work that way.
And I don't want to drag this out too long. It had to be discussed with the way things are and how big of a story that is. It had to be discussed. If this was Pittsburgh, we'd be talking about it nonstop about whose fault it is and this and that. Obviously Tua wanted to play. I mean, no one's going to fault him for that. But
you've got to protect him as an organization, as a coaching staff, as a medical staff.
Correct.
You've got to protect him from himself and say it's not even an option.
He is an employee.
I don't care how much you want.
He is an employee. Yeah. You have to put him in the proper protection and protect his well-being and safety. And I don't know. We're going to end it there.
After everything that I'm not done yet. Sorry.
Okay. Go.
After everything they did in the offseason, losing a first round pick for all the other transgressions of showing a complete lack of morals. And then to go ahead and do this and put a player's let's call it what it is. You put a player's life in danger. When you get two concussions in that short of a time frame, you can cause permanent serious brain damage or even death. They put his life in danger, and that's just inexcusable, man. They need to come down as hard as possible on this and whoever was involved with these decisions
needs to be held accountable,
and the punishment needs to be more severe than the last one.
The minimum is, well, and here's the problem. Here's the problem with the NFL. There's power. There's power in ownership. There's power in head coach. There's power in front offices and all this and that. The head athletic trainer could have said he should not go back in the game. And the head coach, or, and I don't think it was the head coach in this situation, and the owner could have said, Tua is our golden boy. People are here to see him on against the potential Super Bowl running, or, you know, Super Bowl favorite Buffalo Bills. And then this week against the last year's Super Bowl loser, the Cincinnati Bengals, on Thursday night primetime. No, Tua's playing. Somebody said something. Because I can't imagine that the team, because the team doctors on site at those games, let me clarify, not last week they were in Buffalo and this week they were in Cincinnati. So there's probably not a team doctor on.
They're definitely there. This is not developmental league football. The team doctor goes all the away games.
Does it? Okay. Wasn't sure. Yeah. I knew that the head athletic trainer would be there, but I didn't know about team doctors and stuff like that, because sometimes those guys are like actual doctors. Like, I know that Pittsburgh has some actual doctors that are doctors in Pittsburgh that also work for the team. But like, if they're in Pittsburgh, they can't, you know, they might be actually working at the hospital, this or that. But somebody said something, and it's not a good look for Miami at all. And I hope that this is a wake up call for the rest of the NFL, because there's a chance that Tua doesn't play in the NFL again. That's an actual, like, there's a chance.
Yeah, absolutely there is.
So
they might have just cost him his career because they were too worried about trying to march him back out there. Insane. Absolutely insane. If he doesn't play again, I hope he soothed the living bejesus out of them.
Yep. All right. So they should have just benched him. They should have just benched Tua, like Pittsburgh did Tyson Alabala.
Easy decision. Yeah. It's an easy decision. You don't let him play because he's injured.
You didn't even hear what I said. Like Pittsburgh benched Tyson Alualu.
Oh, yeah. There's the transition right there. Let's get into Steelers news. Tyson Alualu, who the starting nose tackle the Steelers, has been benched.
Benched. Done. Well, not done, benched. But benched.
Yeah, he'll still dress. I'm hoping that this is going to be one of multiple changes on the defensive line, because, again, the defensive line was not good enough against the run the last 2 weeks, right?
Nope.
We said this. They were good week one. TJ Watt goes down. All of a sudden, they're not good anymore. And it wasn't just because TJ Watt wasn't out there. We were getting no stops from the nose tackle, no stops from any defensive ends, basically not named Cameron Hayward.
Yep.
So we got to get something out of somebody. Why keep on marching these older guys out there when there's younger guys behind them that show some promise? I said on our show on Monday, I wanted to see more Montrevious Adams. Mike Tomlin, clearly a listener of the show, decided time to bench Tyson Alualu, start Montrevious Adams. Thank you, Coach Tomlin. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll get you on the show soon. More of them this
week. Yep. Well, we'll have him on a special guest probably next week. I don't know. Maybe the week after. We'll see. Depends on how busy he is.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe wait for the bye week.
The other one I would love to see here, Cody, is going to be Chris Wormley not get a hat and Isaiah Loudermilk get one, because he's drastically better against the run. And that's what we need. We can't have people running all over us. And guess what? The Jets are averaging like 6 yards a carry. So you better be a lot more stout against the run this week.
Yeah, you have to.
Otherwise, you're going to lose to a miserable team.
Yeah, you have to. And speaking of the outside linebacker position, you talked about TJ Watt going down and everything like that. And then, can't stop anybody. Derek Tuska, player that was with us and then signed by the Titans, has been cut by the Titans and recently picked up in waivers by the Chargers. So he's now on the Chargers squad, which is the division rival from where he started his career in Denver. So he's back in that AFC West division, which is a weird division right now. I can't lie.
Derek's getting a nice collection of uniforms to hang on his wall, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%.
And maintaining his salary. So good for him. There's at least enough people that saw some potential in him. My guess is that when the Titans claimed him off waivers from the Steelers, the Chargers were also attempting to do so. And now that they had the opportunity to, they grabbed him.
Yep.
The Chargers were lower in the waiver wire, from what I understand, than where the Steelers were. So if the Steelers had claimed him, they would have got him. So they definitely did not claim him.
Yep.
So that's all we know about that. But let's stay in the outside linebacker room and talk little Alex Highsmith.
Let's do it. Little Alex Highsmith. He still leads the league right now in sacks at 4.5. Isn't super crazy impressive. Let me clarify. It is. But I feel like normally at 4 weeks, there's someone who had like 5 or 6 and then they quiet down for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we're only 3 games into it.
Oh, you're right. Oh my gosh. Okay. So
4.5 sacks. 4.5 is pretty good.
Great. That's great. Ignore me completely. My brain is fried. But yeah. And so Alex Highsmith was also snubbed. Let's not be quiet about this. It was AFC Defensive Player of the Month. And it went to Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram, on the year right now, if I remember correctly, only has what, 2 sacks? 2.5?
I was thinking 3 for some reason. But it's obviously
2 sacks.
Definitely less. Yeah, two sacks on the
2 sacks. And they both came against the Bills, and he's already played another game. This is in 4 weeks.
Oh yeah, because they had the Thursday game, huh?
Yep.
So he has 2 sacks in 4 games. Alex Highsmith
has 4.5
in 3 games. And this isn't even close, man.
He has a forced fumble. That's it. He has 6 tackles, 2 sacks, 1 forced. Six total tackles.
I'm sure Alex Highsmith had more than that in week 1.
Excuse me. Hang on. 1, 2. No, excuse me. I might be wrong. Hang on. 3, 6, 7. He has 7 total tackles.
7 tackles. Way more impressive.
Yeah. He has a touchdown, though. That's his big. Yeah. He has that fumble recovery from, I think, week 1 against New England for a touchdown. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess I see the touchdown. That's cool and all, but yeah, Minka's got a touchdown and a blocked extra point. So
yeah, and a couple picks.
Yeah. So if that was the reason that he beat out Alex Highsmith, then Minka definitely should have beat him.
Let the hate for Steelers just continue in every aspect of sports. We love it. And we're just gonna listen. It's fun when I go into people's houses and because I'm installing Dish for them, and they're like, "I couldn't watch my Cowboys last week," and I'm like, "I watched my Steelers," and then I'm like, "Oh yeah, they lost." But it's still fun. It's still fun to give these Cowboys fans all around me a little bit of love, a little bit of messing with them. But yeah, Alex Highsmith, 4.5 sacks, leading the NFL. Great news for him. Alex has been very, in my opinion, typically two or three things happen in the NFL. I'll say 3. Player comes out like TJ Watt and just blows it up. TJ's blown it up since his rookie year. You have players come out like Bud Dupree. They really don't do much their entire career. They have one kind of good year, then they just fade away. And then you got guys like Alex Highsmith. Alex Highsmith came out, played a little good, played a little better. Alex Highsmith is slowly creeping up into top 20, arguably, outside linebacker in the NFL. He could already be there, in my opinion. And it's hard because I think he's just been so overshadowed by TJ Watt that I'm really excited to see what we can do against the Jets, because, you know, this should be a time, especially with their injury thing. We'll get to that a little later. Alex Highsmith has a great opportunity to say, hey, look, I can do this, and I can do it well, and I can do it consistently. So I'm excited to see how they play this weekend, for sure.
I really hope that he's the kind of guy that gets a chip on his shoulder when he feels like he's been slighted, and I really hope that he feels slighted by not getting Defensive Player of the Month in the first month there, because he should feel slighted. This is something that he absolutely annihilated Melvin Ingram's numbers other than the one touchdown. Again, like you said, great opportunity for him this week. Zach Wilson, not the most incredible quarterback. This is going to be his first game of the season. It's been a Joe Flacco show so far in New York. So backup offensive tackles, Zach Wilson, first game of the season, coming off of a knee injury.
Zach Wilson likes to throw picks, man.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that a lot. Zach Will, I'm curious.
Let's get Minka some more, man. Let's get Minka back in that interception zone. Let's get him 3 on a season. Start talking about another Pro Bowl year for him, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely. You want to know what I would also like to see? Australian kickers. Some good special teams kickers. with that, Steelers did re-sign, or I shouldn't say re-sign, but they signed again. They signed him. It's not re-signed. Punter Jordan Berry, who was with the team for quite some time, and they released practice squad player, they signed Jordan Berry to the practice squad, and they released outside linebacker Delonte Scott. This move was in relation to Presley Harvin III dealing with a thigh injury, if I'm not mistaken. Left hip specifically. So with that being said, Jordan Berry's a decent punter. He was never bad for us, I don't think. He wasn't consistent, which is why we went out and, you know, you drafted somebody. But I am excited to see what happens here, because I do think there's a chance that Presley Harvin's going to play, personally. I don't think we're going to see Jordan Berry.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think this was just an insurance policy in case it took a turn for the worse.
Yep.
So you wanted somebody with some experience punting in cold weather. Jordan Berry punted for the Vikings last year and put up some good numbers. They do practice and play inside a dome, so he didn't have any of the complications of the wind, which does make kicking quite a bit easier.
True.
But we'll take it. There's a guy on the practice squad ready to go just in case Presley wakes up Sunday morning and that hip's completely locked up and he can't go. Okay, no problem. You march Jordan Berry out there and you don't skip a beat. Maybe he doesn't punt quite as well as Presley Harvin, but you know, it'll be adequate. We don't need amazing. We just need somebody to not shank it and have it go 15 yards and right out of bounds.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. With that being said, we already talked about the Jets. Both starting tackles are out for Sunday. Zach Wilson will be starting more than likely in place of Joe Flacco, who's been starting. Been playing pretty well, actually. Joe Flacco's been kind of balling out for the most part. So I'm impressed to see that they're just so flamboyantly going back to Zach Wilson. But that's beside the point. Injuries for them, obviously the outside, offensive tackles. The Jets are also more than likely are going to be out. Quincy Williams, who's an inside linebacker with an ankle injury. Brandon Echols is questionable with a hamstring injury. That's one of their starting corners. I think he's second or third string. And then John Franklin Myers, one of their big defensive ends, is also unlisted right now with a toe injury. We don't know if he's going to be in or out. So, and then obviously we talked a little bit about Steelers. We have Presley Harvin III with a left hip injury. Akilah Witherspoon will be out with a hamstring injury. That is the one injury we know to be out. Minkah Fitzpatrick in concussion protocol. Not unsure if he's going to play. I think he is playing.
He's good. Yeah, he was in protocol Wednesday, practice fully both Thursday and Friday.
Perfect.
So he's good to go for the game. We'll have Minkah, thank goodness.
Awesome. Kevin Dotson, the guard, with an ankle injury, full participated Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I believe. And then Larry Ogunjobi with a non-injury related, just resting him. He's getting older. I'm assuming he's a go. So that's the injury list for Pittsburgh. Also, Cam Sutton injured today, right? Or yesterday? Today.
Yeah, I'm understanding that today he was a limited participant in practice with a groin injury, which is scary. Because if you're already down Akilah Witherspoon, Cam Sutton's your number two right now. You would move into the number one slot. If your number one is sitting there with a groin injury, he's not going to be able to cut anywhere near as well as normal. And that's bad news. So could be looking at a possible combination of Levi Wallace starting on one side and James Pierre on the other. And if that happens, get out your rosary, because we're going to need all the help we can get if that's the starting corners.
That is very true. All right, so let's go through this depth chart for the Jets real quick. James, you wanted to bring us through the offense?
Yes. Yes, obviously at quarterback, we've got Zach Wilson starting. They announced him on Wednesday saying that he will start this week. He's coming off a knee injury from last season that he retweaked in the preseason. So he missed most of the preseason and then the first 3 weeks of the regular season. Running back, they've got Michael Carter and also Breece Hall, who was a high draft pick in this most recent draft.
Yep.
So Michael Carter was the draft class previously out of North Carolina. He's a guy I was real big on. Explosive play, very quick, very agile, good at making people miss. So the running backs, definitely some explosive, dynamic athletes. Yep. Very important that you're good in your responsibilities and you hold down your zone and force the play back to the inside.
Yep. Carter's averaging almost 4.5 yards per carry, and Breece Hall is averaging, three and a half yards per carry. Breece Hall is almost averaging 4.5 yards per carry. No, I was wrong. I think it's 5.5. Breece Hall is averaging 5.33 yards per carry, and Michael Carter is like 4.36. So
that's really good on both of them.
Yeah, that's better than what Pittsburgh's averaging right now, except for maybe Chase Claypool and Mitch Trubisky.
Now, on the plus side, Najee's average yards per carry have gone up every week. So if he continues by like week six, it's going to be pretty good.
True.
All right, that was just me being a little bit of a wise ass there.
That's okay.
Wide receivers, they've got three listed as starters. Garrett Wilson, who was the first round wide receiver out of Ohio State. Elijah Moore, who I think is a second year guy now. And then Corey Davis, the former wide receiver of the Tennessee Titans, who I believe also was a first round pick. Mm-hmm. So some very serious pedigree with these guys, some pretty good explosiveness and athleticism as well, which could pose some interesting problems as far as matchups with our corners who are banged up and not super fast to begin with.
Yeah, very true.
We got tight ends. We got Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzomah. I don't believe either one of them is a real big time blocker, but Uzomah known for stretching the field pretty well, good receiving tight end. And I want to say Conklin's kind of an overall guy. So these guys could definitely expose the defense if we're not careful. We got to learn from the mistakes of last week as far as what Pittsburgh did and did not do well in covering David Njoku, because Njoku really had a field day against us. So they got to button that up. Not had much out of either one of these guys thus far this year. Not a lot of catches from either one. They're not really putting up the numbers, but the capability is definitely there. Offensive line, like we talked about, both starting offensive tackles gone. Their number one backup gone. So they're starting Connor McDermott at left tackle, and on the right side, Max Mitchell, who's a rookie fourth-round pick. If I remember right, one of the things about Max Mitchell, he had good tape, but he had short arms. So that's a real opportunity for anybody who lines up on that side with any kind of length. David Anini, I think, if I remember right, was almost 35-inch long arms. Really would love to see a lot of David Anini in this game, all right? Malik Reed ain't getting it done. Let's see some Highsmith switching over to that side. Let's see some Anini and see what he can get done. But get some of these guys with length out there, because I want to see if they can create some mismatches and get after the quarterback this week.
Absolutely.
What about the interior guys, Cody?
Interior. So there's two starting guards, Elijah Vera Tucker and Laken Tomlinson. Elijah Vera Tucker is arguably a top tier guy. He's big. Oh yeah. You're
saying, first round pick, right?
Yeah. So he is unfortunately on a bad team, but a good player there. Can't underestimate him. And then Connor McGovern is their starting center, with Dan Feeney backing him up also at the right guard position. Offensive line's fairly decent. It's not horrible. Those offensive tackles being out is very, very important.
The interior three, definitely the strength of this offensive line. Would have been a well-balanced line had they not lost all the starters on the outside. My favorite thing about Elijah Vera Tucker is that the Jets traded up in front of the Patriots to draft him because they knew the Patriots won. Love that.
Love that. We absolutely do. Looking at the defensive side, on the edge, they have Carl Lawson, who's a phenomenal edge rusher. Also, John Franklin Myers, I believe. Thought he might have
gotten on the injured list.
He was on the injured list, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. And then the two D lines, Sheldon Rankins and Quinnen Williams, again, big boys, very big boys. Quincy Williams on the injured list as well. At the linebacker position, CJ Mosley, Quan Alexander, both very good linebackers, not to be taken too easy, I should say.
Yeah, some athletic dudes, right?
Very athletic. And then I actually think Marcel Harris is also athletic, who might be starting at that third linebacker position. And then in the at the quarterback room, you're looking at DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner making some plays. He's someone you got to watch out for. And then in the nickel room, you got Michael Carter the second. And then their safeties are also fairly good. LaMarcus Joyner and Jordan Whitehead. LaMarcus Joyner being the better of the two. Joyner's been in the league now for what? I want to say 9 years, 31 years old, 9 years. He knows some stuff about football. He's lasted this long. So safety is a tough position to last that long, especially when you're not always playing for good teams.
Sauce, if you remember in the pre-draft process, I was stoked about Sauce. Watched a little bit of his college ball last year, and he was phenomenal. Was really hoping Pittsburgh would draft him, and they decided no corners was a better move. No surprise there. Do not get confused. This Michael Carter on defense is different from the Michael Carter on offense. And yes, they drafted them both in the same draft class.
Dang.
Yeah, fun, huh? So special teams, kicker Greg Zuerlein, punter Braden Mann, and the long snapper, because they absolutely matter, ask the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
Thomas Hennessy.
Yeah. And then kicker and punt return, both are Braxton Berrios. Other than that, that's it. Three keys to success against the Jets. James, you go first or me?
I don't even remember, man. Which one? Who's up first this week? I don't recall.
I think you're up first. I think you're
up first this week.
Yeah, because last week we made a comment about how the one time you took one from me. So I think you're up first.
That's right. That's right. So I'm up first this week. First key to success, third down conversions. Last week we were only 1 for 9. It hasn't really been good yet this entire season. I know it's only 3 games in, but you got to do better than third. 1 out of 9. You have to convert on third downs. If you don't, you're going to stall out all your drives. You're going to ask the defense to play 100 snaps again. None of this is a recipe for success. So we need sustained drives, and to get those third down conversions are a must. Number two for me is we've got to step up this run defense. Not good enough what we've seen the last couple of weeks, right? A big step in the right direction in my eyes. After 3 weeks, Coach Tomlin saying, hey, this isn't good enough at nose tackle. I need something else. Let's see. Hopefully there's a little bit different rotation, get some louder milk action on that D-line too.
Yep.
Because we need to see better defensive play from the front. I don't even think it's necessarily the middle linebackers, because they had like 25 tackles between the two of them last week. Let's give them a break. That defensive line needs to start hitting some running backs at and behind the line of scrimmage. So got to stop the run. Final one for me is going to be get the tight ends involved early. I don't want to see another game where our tight ends don't have a catch until the fourth quarter and the game's almost over. So I want to see passes to the tight ends, and not just Freiermuth, both of them. Get the tight ends involved early in this game, and let's make them try to match up with them. Our tight ends are huge, so you got to take advantage of that mismatch and force them to try to cover a 6'6" Pat Freiermuth and a 6'8" Zach Gentry. They're matchup nightmares, so take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with those completely. You did take one of mine. I can't lie. The third downs was a big one. I said that.
Oh, it's huge, man. I mean, you can take it too.
You got to sustain those drives. You have to. No, I'll do three different ones. For the most part, number one, I'm gonna have to say this: you gotta be consistent on defense. And what I mean by that is we have to have a well-rounded defensive game plan. We can't just stop the run and then get torched in the pass. We can't just stop the pass and then get torched from this team on the run. Zach Wilson may not have a great stat line in his rookie year. I think he's like 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. But at the same time, you can't take him. You can't underestimate people. Pittsburgh does that all the time. They always play down to their competition. This should be a game where Pittsburgh's offense just goes crazy. Like, we should be able to put up 30 points against this defense. I'm not saying they're a pushover, but our offense is that good when performing well. We saw it in preseason. We know what they can do. The talent is there. Go out and do something with it.
You're right, man. Pro Bowl running back, Pro Bowl wide receiver, and some guys at that level in the other positions.
Yep. So I kind of transitioned from the first one, overall defense, into my second one, put up points. I don't want to see us have 10 points, 13 points. I want to see us put up points in this game and be aggressive on offense. And number three, I'm going back to last week. No stupid turn. Basically, we just have to win the turnover battle. You have to win the turnover battle. You can't lose it with the muffed punts. You can't lose fumbles. Granted, last week was a weird one. You got to be better. You got to be better in that turnover battle. And a lot of the times, that's how you win games. So
you're right, man. And part of winning the turnover battle is creating some with the defense.
100%.
Last week, like you said, you know, it's one turnover. It's that fumble at the end of the game, which was just really a lateral and not really a fumble anyway. But the defense didn't create any turnovers for us last week. We've got to have that this week. I agree 100% with you. So don't forget, if you've made it this far to the end of the show, I will be at the Jets game.
Yes, he will.
Feel free to reach out to us, Facebook, Twitter, any of that stuff. Send a message. I'll let you know where I'm at. We can meet up. Take some selfies, talk some football, and maybe you can even give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. While you're at it.
Absolutely. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.